I'd now like to introduce Brother Gilbert to you. Brother Clark Gilbert currently serves as the Associate Academic Vice President of Educational Resources and Development here at BYU-Idaho. In this capacity, he oversees the learning model and online education. Brother Gilbert graduated in international relations from BYU. He earned a master's degree in East Asia Studies from Stanford and a doctorate in business administration from Harvard University. Prior to his current assignment, Brother Gilbert worked with student leadership programs in our activities program. He's also professor of entrepreneurial management at the Harvard Business School. His work there focused on innovation and change. Brother Gilbert has served the church in many capacities, including as a scoutmaster, stake young men's leader, and Sunday school teacher. He currently serves as a counselor in the stake presidency of the BYU-Idaho 6th Stake. Brother Gilbert and his wife Christine are the parents of 7 children. We're grateful to have 2 of those children with us today.
Thank you for that wonderful music. You've prepared us not only for our message today, but for the remarks we'll hear this weekend at General Conference. We look forward to hearing from you again. It is a privilege to speak to you today. I pray that the Spirit will help all of us receive a very personal message as I share my remarks. I often ask my students what one condition is required for personal growth. Think about it yourselves. What one condition, if you could choose, would enable you the greatest degree of personal growth in your work, learning, and throughout your life? More often than not, most of my discussions with students here at BYU-Idaho eventually point to the power of personal agency. Today, I'd like to explore this theme of agency and personal growth. I'll begin my message with a story about a friend of mine from Boston, whom I'll call Junior. His story, at least the part I will share today, is about 3 choices that have had a profound impact on his life. Junior was a teenager growing up in a rough part of the city. His parents were converts to the church who had immigrated to the United States from the Dominican Republic. Good people with strong testimonies of the restored gospel. But Junior wasn't sure how he felt about his own testimony. He liked his non-member friends. He was considering joining a band, and he had the dreadlock hairstyle to look the part. Junior was willing to attend church, but he really went only in support of his parents. 6 years ago, Junior responded to an invitation to attend a youth conference. Unsure whether he wanted to spend an entire weekend with a group of religious people, he declined. The night before the conference, he felt something, a spiritual prompting. To the surprise of many of his leaders, Junior made the decision to attend. Something happened that weekend where, for the first time, Junior felt that God had spoken to him directly. The seeds of a personal testimony began to grow. A year later, at the encouragement of his younger brother, Junior made the decision to attend BYU-Idaho. Leaving the familiar setting of Boston and moving to Rexburg was a big change. But with that transition came many blessings. Junior was matched with great roommates, a strong spiritual environment, and caring faculty. One of those roommates was a returned missionary from New York who also shared a Dominican heritage with Junior. All fall semester, they visited about the impact a mission would have on Junior's life. No one in Junior's family had ever served a mission. But through the example of his roommate and the direction of the Spirit, Junior made the decision to serve a mission. Junior has become a powerful missionary, and today is a different boy than the young man I met 6 years ago. But while he always had divine potential, it was his decisions that shaped who he became. In each of these decisions, Junior received encouragement from good shepherds, a young men's leader, a sibling, a college roommate. But in each situation, all of the influence in the world would not have mattered if Junior, exercising his own personal agency, had not made the decision and acted on it. Today, I'd like to explore with you the power of personal agency. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 58, verses 27 through 28, the Lord teaches, "Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness. For the power is in them, wherefore they are agents unto themselves." Each of us has divine potential. The Lord explains the power is in us. But it is only when we use our agency wisely that our decisions lead to that divine potential. As President Monson has taught, decisions determine destiny. I would like to explore the power of personal agency by considering three key ideas. First, the role of agency in the plan of salvation. Second, ways to expand our agency. And third, the need for a Savior to overcome the effects of bad choices. A key to understanding the power of personal agency is to recognize that it is one of the core doctrines underlying the plan of salvation. In a revelation given to the prophet Joseph Smith, we learn, "Man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence, or the light of truth, was not created or made, neither indeed can be. All truth is independent in that sphere in which God has placed it, to act for itself as also intelligence. Otherwise, there is no existence. Behold, here is the agency of man." It is our agency that made us who we are, and it is the use of our agency that will shape who we become. God knew that for us to become like him, we needed the ability to choose, to act, and to grow. But Satan sought to take away this power. In Moses, we read, "That Satan came before me, saying, Behold, here am I. Send me. I will be thy son, and I will redeem all mankind, that one soul shall not be lost. Wherefore, that Satan rebelled against me and sought to destroy the agency of man, which I, the Lord God, had given him. Unfortunately, he led many others away." We read, "And also a third part of the host of heaven turned he away from them because of their agency." The tragic irony was that the gift they were trying to deny all of us, that had been bestowed on us in the council of heaven, was the very condition that allowed them to disagree in the first place. In the Russian novel, The Brothers Karamazov, we read an allegorical story set in the Spanish Inquisition, where the dominant church had worked hard to control the behavior of its people. When the Savior returned to earth in the story, the Grand Inquisitor interceded to challenge the Savior by saying the following, "Thou wouldst go into the world with some promise of freedom which men in their simplicity and natural unruliness cannot even understand. Instead of taking possession of man's freedom, thou didst increase it." That argument was that our limited capacity would make us incapable of wisely using our power, the powerful gift we had received in our agency. I'm sure these and many other arguments were put forth in the Council of Heaven. It's clear that some of them were persuasive enough to deceive a third part of the host of heaven. But no matter how passionately advocated, all of these arguments were wrong. The only way we could grow and become like our Heavenly Father was through the righteous use of our agency. God cannot force personal growth. Our very nature required the preservation of that agency. Let me repeat that. God cannot force personal growth. It's a gift, but we have to use it wisely. Our ability to unlock our divine potential cannot happen without the ability to make choices and learn from consequences. The battle for agency continues today in our lives. Satan continues to do everything he can to steal the agency of man. The cleverness of his approach is that he sets traps that cause us to ensnare ourselves. President Monson compared this to a Tongan fisherman's snare called the makafeke. Note that the trap is simply constructed. It consists of a shell lashed to a line that is lowered over a reef to lure an octopus. Once the octopus grabs onto the bait, the fisherman begins to pull the victim to the surface. At any point in the process, all the octopus needs to do is simply let go. But its desire to hold on is so powerful that the victim is eventually led to its destruction. While there are many makafekes that cause us to forfeit our agency, I would like to focus on four. False traditions, addiction, financial bondage, and sin. I will start with false traditions. Righteous traditions in a home can be powerful mechanisms for preserving family values and teaching true doctrine. But false traditions can also enter our lives, often without our recognizing it. These false traditions can keep us from using our agency and making our own decisions. King Benjamin spoke of how the Lamanites would not accept the principles of the gospel because of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. The reason for their unbelief was not intellectual inhibition or spiritual restraint, though these arguments were certainly put forth. The reason for their unbelief was tied to false traditions that kept them becoming agents unto themselves. Students who come from a home where education was not important will have to overcome that tradition. Individuals who grew up in a community where inappropriate media was the norm will have to work to change that norm in their own lives. President Howard W. Hunter encouraged us, "Measure whatever anyone asks you to do, whether it be your family, loved ones, your cultural heritage, or the traditions you've inherited. Measure everything against the teaching of the Savior. When you find a variance from those teachings, set the matter aside and do not pursue it. It will not bring you happiness." Another way we can limit our personal agency is by giving into addiction. The following statement is taken from the church resource on addiction recovery. "Some people consider addictions to be simply bad habits that can be conquered by power alone. Many people become so dependent on a behavior or a substance that they no longer see how to abstain from it. They lose perspective and a sense of other priorities in their lives. Nothing matters more than satisfying that desperate need. When they try to abstain, they experience powerful emotional cravings. As they habitually make wrong choices, they find their ability to choose the right diminished or restricted. As President Boyd K. Packer has taught, addiction has the capacity to disconnect the human will and nullify moral agency. It can rob one of the power to decide." If anyone here is struggling under the trap of addiction, I encourage you to visit with your bishop and use the resources the church has provided to help restore your agency. The third area that can sometimes steal our personal agency is when we fall victim or trapped in financial bondage. We can lose our agency when we become trapped in this modern-day challenge. President Monson has taught, "I urge you to live within your means. One cannot spend more than one earns and remain solvent. I promise you that you will then be happier than you would be if you were constantly worrying about how to make the next payment on non-essential debt. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we read, 'Pay the debt that thou hast contracted, release thyself from bondage.' You may need to borrow for your education or for a future home. But as you enter college and later join the workforce, you will be tempted to seek immediate gratification by buying things you cannot afford, both financially and spiritually. Too many of us borrow unnecessarily and are burdened with interest payments for the rest of our lives." finally sin, following false traditions, submitting to addiction, and becoming burdened with debt all share a misplaced perception that our natural impulses will make us happy. But the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever unless he yields to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we follow our natural impulses in any form, we forfeit our agency and become the outgrowth of those impulses. We are not choosing our destiny, but rather we are programmatically responding to the natural man. Korah Hord tried to turn this logic on Alma when he accused the Nephites of being trapped by their obedience to the commandments of God. Ye say that this is a free people. Behold, I say they are in bondage. Similarly, Cain tried to use this argument to mistake the murder of his brother for personal freedom. And Cain gloried in that which he had done, saying, I am free. We live in a world where society will tell you that following your desires will make you free and happy. But wickedness never was happiness. The Savior declares in the Doctrine and Covenants, wherefore, hear my voice, follow me, and you shall be a free people. The only way to preserve our agency and to truly be free is to overcome the natural man and avoid the bondage of sin. As we try to avoid the traps that destroy our agency, we can also take efforts to expand our agency by making good choices. I will focus on four actions. First, self-management. Second, focusing on what we can control. Third, listening to the Spirit. And fourth, following the Holy Ghost. This winter, I was asked to teach the Personal Management Merit Badge to my son's scout troop. In the class, we discussed time management, goal setting, budgeting, and the principles of self-reliance. It was after one of these classes when my son, James, asked me, Dad, it seems like all of these things really just help you become what you know you can be and not just let things happen to you. That was a profound statement for a 12-year-old boy. But think about it. When you plan and manage your time, you are choosing how to use that scarce resource rather than reacting to what happens around you. When you set goals, you are choosing where you want to go rather than just taking things as they come. When you set a budget, you are choosing how you spend your time, how you spend money before you become subject to the impulse purchase or frivolous expenditure. Calendars, goals, budgets are all tools that help us expand our agency. Second, focusing on what we can control. Many people let external determinants shape their sense of opportunity rather than focusing on what they can actually control. One of the great blessings of my life has been to work with the Heber J. Grant program at BYU-Idaho. The more than 2,000 students who participate in that program have overcome difficult backgrounds. Many of these students are first-generation college students. Many are first-generation members of the church. Most students have little or no financial support. But rather than focus on these challenges, these and many other students focus on the opportunities that they now face at BYU-Idaho. As one student said to me, Brother Gilbert, I've had some terrible things happen to me before I came here. But I could let it define me, or I could choose to focus on where I wanted to go from here. What matters with our agency is not what we've been given, but how we choose to respond with where we are. I believe this is what President Clark means when he says the Lord works at the frontier. Each of us has our own personal frontier. If we want to know him, we can find him at the limits of our abilities and our efforts. For the more mathematically minded student, another way to think about this is to consider the slope of two lines. Recall the formula for the slope of a line, y equals mx plus b. Yes, this isn't math for the real world. M is the slope, and B is the intercept. Now consider two lines. Line one has a very high intercept, but very little or no slope. Line two starts with a much lower intercept, but its positive slope means that over time, the second line will cross and eventually surpass the first line. What matters in eternity is a constant upward slope. Too often the world focuses on the intercept, but I believe God is much more interested in where we are headed than where we began. Third, listening to the Spirit. If decisions determine destiny, then I know of no more critical window in your life than where you are right now. President Hales has referred to this period as the decade of decision. Indeed, in the next few years, each of you will have made choices that will shape the rest of your lives. This includes whether to serve a mission, what to study, the choice of friends, who to marry, when to start a family, what career to pursue, and where to live and work after graduation. Fortunately, Heavenly Father has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost, so we can choose between good and evil, right and wrong. Listen to the Spirit, and you will make wise choices. Lastly, we can expand our agency when we choose to follow the Savior. One of the surest ways to expand our agency is when we seek Him who set the perfect path. In the parable of the rich young ruler, the choice to follow the world is juxtaposed with the choice to follow the Savior. In Matthew 19, we read, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Christ reminds him of the commandments, to which the young ruler replies, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had many great possessions. On a personal note, I remember when I was preparing to leave a former career and come to BYU, Idaho. Christine and I had received a clear answer that this is where the Lord wanted our family. Still, it was hard not to consider that I was only 6 months away from a promotion I had spent nearly 10 years working toward. But the Lord had something better if only I could let go of the path I was on. All of us have something that we hold on to. Even as we're obedient in so many other ways, but to truly follow the Savior, we have to choose to follow Him rather than be governed by our possessions, our pride, or even our personal identity. I learned the power personal agency can play in the lives of others when I served in a stake young men's presidency. We gave everything we had to this stake, knowing their names, their lives, and serving them in every way we knew how. This is a picture of that young men's presidency taken at 2 a.m. as we prepared on the eve of a youth event. But there's something wrong with this picture besides the fact that it's 2 a.m. There are no youth in the room. In our desire to serve, we had excluded the youth from the very activities that would lead to their greatest growth. Fortunately, we soon ran into an experience that would change our service forever. In planning for an upcoming youth conference, we wanted to explore the idea of how what is cool shapes our choices around media and popular culture. Well, try as we might, 4 married men working at desk jobs were not going to tell the youth about what was cool. Perplexed, we decided to turn to the youth. We were forced to involve them in actually developing the themes of that youth conference, in writing some of the content, and actually using them to lead some of our discussions. Our responsibility as young men's leaders to direct and sharpen the experience did not diminish. We worked just as hard as ever, but the youth were engaged in a role we had never experienced. By doing less, we had allowed the youth to do more. For me, this story has had profound implications, not only on my service in the stake, but as a parent, a leader, and as a teacher. In Preach My Gospel, we read, "While learning from a good teacher is very important, it is more important that you have meaningful experiences on your own." As you reflect on your experience at BYU Idaho, I hope you will recognize how you are being given opportunities to take action and take responsibility for your own growth. Consider for a moment the types of experiences you are having at BYU Idaho. The following language comes directly from either the mission statement or the guiding principles of some of the programs that are so much a part of our life at this university. Personal honor teaches us to be responsible for our behavior. Student living teaches personal accountability and individual responsibility. The BYU Idaho Activities Program's core guiding principles include to act, to participate, and to choose. The Heber J. Grant Program teaches self-reliance and personal stewardship. And of course, the learning model teaches us to act and take responsibility for our own learning. Please advance to the next section. If you look at all these programs and how every one of them, in some form or another, teaches us personal accountability and personal responsibility, I do not believe it's a coincidence. By the way, they were not designed by the same people. Perhaps ultimately they all reported to our president, but they were developed independently. I do not believe it's by chance that those principles of personal agency show up everywhere we look at BYU Idaho. Please stop. In conclusion, I would like to quote from the prophet Joseph Smith when he said, "Therefore, I command you to repent. Repent lest I smite you by the rod of my mouth, and by my wrath, and by mine anger, and your sufferings be sore, how sore you know not." Now, before I read this last section, I want to put this talk in context. I've spoken for most of our time together about the power agency has to help us grow. But while agency was a foundational doctrine in the plan of salvation, the Lord also knew it could not work for our ultimate salvation without the companion principle of the atonement. Listen to what the Savior is about to teach us through the prophet Joseph Smith. "These sufferings are sore, how sore you know not, how exquisite you know not, how hard to bear you know not. For behold, I, God, have suffered these things for all, that they might not suffer if they would repent. But if they would not repent, they must suffer even as I." President Henry B. Eyring shared an insight that came as he pondered this passage. Reflecting on the atonement, he said, "First, if I could not repent to qualify for his atonement, for my sins, I must suffer the limit of my power to suffer. And second, with all the requisite suffering of my own, with all I could bear, it would still not be enough. I would still be forever shut out." In that moment, the penalty for taking chances with sin or with forgiveness loomed larger than I had ever imagined. In 2 Nephi, we are taught, "It is by grace we are saved after all we can do." Certainly, it is so important for us to use our agency wisely and to do all we can. But in the end, we are still saved by His grace. Agency gave us the ability to grow and improve, but we can never grow into our potential unless we choose to accept the atonement in our own lives and follow the path of repentance. In conclusion, I hope you have used our time together to reflect on the importance of agency in the plan of salvation and in your own personal growth. I pray that we will avoid the self-entrapments of false traditions, addiction, financial bondage, and sin. The ability to release ourselves from these traps is all self-determined if we will just choose to follow Him. Moreover, I hope we'd expand our agency by strengthening efforts at self-management, focusing on what we can control, listening to the Spirit, and following the Savior. As we make efforts to expand our agency, each of us will be blessed with increased intellectual and spiritual growth. But I also pray we will remember the companion doctrine of the atonement and repentance. I leave my witness that it is through His atonement that we grow. It is through His atonement only that we ultimately return to our Heavenly Father. I know this is His gospel. I know this is His work. I leave that testimony with you in full solemnity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.